Joining us is Kevin Edwards, who's our resident Mac expert. Not only someone who follows Mac personally, but also sees them from a professional point of view, being a developer and a writer of software. I wonder if you could just kind of take us through your impressions of the Worldwide Developer Conference that occurred today.
So this is the conference. They've been doing it for 23 years. And as Tim Cook said today, that's older than a lot of people who are the developers there in the audience. So they've been doing it for quite some time, and it draws people from around the world. As a matter of fact, walking along the line and talking to people, I met more people from outside of California than here in the Bay Area. Although part of that had to do with the unusual situation in terms of getting tickets for the event. Apple didn't announce when they were going to be selling tickets. They just instantly went on sale. And that happened at about 5 o'clock in the morning, local time. So as a result, the people who got tickets were the people who were smart enough to get text messaging or other alert systems set up and bought tickets in the middle of the night, or from back east, middle of the day, but local time, it was 5 a.m. And so as a result, fewer people were able to get them from the Bay Area. But this sold out in less than 2 hours. So it's a very, very popular event. And it's targeted for developers, which is a really key point. The audience is made up of developers. There were no ticket scalpers. You had to have ID. You had to buy it with your developer ID. So it was a very strong developer-focused audience.
What was the major piece of news, if you could distill it down to one or two things, what's the major piece of news that you took away from today's keynote?
Well, they divided it into three different major announcements. The first was a refresh of the MacBook line, the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro, along with a new MacBook Pro Retina display model. They also talked about the new iOS and the new Mountain Lion, which is the desktop operating system.
What is remarkable about those? Why did those stand out to you?
Well, the MacBooks got upgraded to the new third generation Core series Intel processors. Those were kind of expected upgrades, nothing too surprising there. They did get USB 3.0, which is nice, but they're still pretty much, you know, a spec upgrade, an incremental upgrade overall. The new Retina MacBook Pro Retina display is pretty amazing. It's the highest resolution laptop computer. It's 15 inches, but the resolution there is just incredible. As you've seen with the iPhone and the iPad, when they bring in the Retina displays, it really makes a difference. They showed off somebody editing Final Cut Pro with a video that's in preview mode. And usually when you're doing that, you've got a scaled down video, and then you've got your timeline and everything else that you're working with. On display here with the new MacBook Pro on a 15-inch window, the video that's actually being shown is in preview mode, is actually 1080. It's actually HD video that you're working with within a window on this larger resolution screen. It was pretty incredible. So that was probably the key thing for the MacBook Pro line. They pulled the SuperDrive out of the Retina display model, so it's thin. It's uniformly the same height, and it's about the same height as the thickest part of the MacBook Air.
Arguably the key product from Apple, the one that's really built the company over the past several years, and that is the iPhone. Was there any iPhone news? Because I'm kind of used to getting iPhone news, it seems like, over the winter time, but was there anything going on with the iPhone this time?
Yeah, so in the past, they have released new iPhones at the Worldwide Developers Conference, and they've done that every year since the iPhone came out, except for last year and this year. And so last year, they had a special event in the fall, and that's when they released the new iPhone. So this year, we're speculating that it's also going to be in the fall, and we don't know exactly what we'll see in terms of the phone itself, but they did show off the new iOS 6, which will be the operating system that the new iPhone will come out with. And so they were showing off some of the new features of that. Those new features, the big news for iOS 6 would be features such as the new maps, where Apple had been using Google Maps, but now they've got their own map service, and it will offer turn-by-turn directions, which is a huge thing for Apple because the iPhone didn't have that built in. There were third-party turn-by-turn navigation apps, but this is now one from Apple included with iOS 6. It also has some really neat 3D navigation capabilities. So being able to look at downtown areas and navigate in a 3D landscape on where you are, that's pretty cool stuff. So that was something that I think a lot of people are going to find interesting. Siri has been upgraded quite a bit. There will be some features with Siri, the way it interacts with maps, for example, and the turn-by-turn directions. You can do things like ask how you're doing in terms of traffic or time to your destination, and Siri will give contextual responses along with the navigation. There's also Passbook, which is kind of an interesting thing. It might not have struck people as being all that interesting in the audience, but it really opens the door to something that might be a huge, huge thing for Apple. Passbook is a way of saving things on your iPhone, such as coupons, gift cards, movie tickets, even airline tickets. And then using QR codes, you can use your iPhone and just show it to a scanner and use that as your card, use that as your ticket, and so forth. Now, that might not sound that exciting, and to some degree, apps like Fandango have been using that, and you can get into movie theaters with your tickets that you've purchased through your iPhone. It's very fast, very easy. But by having this as something that's integrated into the operating system itself and allowing multiple apps to take advantage of this, multiple accounts and so forth, it opens the door to an alternative to NFC, near field communications, and possibly using your iPhone almost entirely with no need for a wallet, because everything that you would have in your wallet, credit cards, gift cards, stuff like that, would all be in your iPhone, which I'm kind of looking forward to. One less thing in my pocket.
And then finally, Apple is one of the few companies with products that are so popular that they actually have controversies ahead of product launches. Maybe, you know, you might be able to find cases where, you know, a car being released by a company in Detroit or by BMW or whatever might have been controversial in terms of the details being leaked and that sort of thing. But for the most part, leaks to the public don't really make it that big in the news. But with Apple, that seems to be the case quite a bit. And we can go back and find all sorts of cases where Apple made news before they even launched a product because of leaks. There was one product, though, that didn't really have any leaks, but a lot of people were expecting something around it. And that was the update to the Mac Pro Tower series.
Right. So, you know, you're absolutely right about the leaks on Apple products. And, you know, there are a lot of bloggers out there who cover the leaks, cover the rumors. A lot of it is made up. A lot of it's speculation. But there are a lot of people who do all kinds of crazy research in terms of looking at supply chain information and trying to get interviews with people. We saw it, you know, about a year ago with the iPhone. A lot of people were predicting a so-called iPhone 5 that would be unibody and slim and everything. And that just didn't pan out. So the rumors go, they take a form of their own. There's a lot of speculation, and then people comment on that, and then that drives more speculation, and it's sort of the cycle that happens where a little bit of information comes in, and then it just sort of snowballs until you end up with mock-ups and other things and products that the fans have actually designed that maybe Apple might actually take a look at and then decide, hey, this is worth doing.
But this was a case where it was sort of turned on its head. It was a lack of information. There were no leaks. There was no information out there until some enterprising users, you know, started to basically shake the gauge a little bit and say, hey, what's up? Why is there no information?
So Tim Cook at All Things Digital, the D10 conference, he talked about doubling down on security and secrecy on product releases. And apparently that seemed to work. However, that also can breed a little bit of frustration. And I think what we've seen leading up to the developers conference is a lot of frustration specifically around one key area with Apple in general, and that's the high end, the pro user segment. And specifically at this point for the Mac Pro series, the Tower Macintosh, that hasn't been refreshed in a major way in a really long time. And a lot of users were getting somewhat frustrated on that. As a matter of fact, one person went to Facebook and created a fan page on Facebook. Last time we looked, there were 18,000 likes on that page and a lot of comments. And that's just on Facebook. A lot of pro users aren't using Facebook that much. So around the blogosphere, there were a lot of comments, a lot of speculation, and a lot of frustration that perhaps not just the Mac Pro would be neglected, but the entire pro market would be neglected as well.
Well, Kevin, thanks for going to the keynote and reporting back on what you learned there today.
Great. Thank you, Jason.